driving, I got a guy on the radio who talks to me. I can't see him, but he talks to me.
Did it take too long to find your desire? To light up the fire? Well, here's a little song that will help inspire.
Back. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. And you are listening to... I almost called you Mitch Albom because we were talking about Mitch Albom before. Patrick Ballantyne is in the studio and so glad to have him. Heard about this guy from a few different people. Patrick Ballantyne is usually content sitting behind the curtain watching his songs take flight through others. And we're going to talk about those others like Meredith Shaw or Big Sugar or Jane Chisholm, the Trues. Boy, they go on and on. Sometimes he feels the need to step forward and fly on his own. His latest album, Days of Rain, is a rich and intensely personal portrayal of overcoming struggle and dark days to find light on the other side. Sonically, the songs on Days of Rain are influenced by Motown, the Beatles, Pink Floyd, and ABBA. Various classic singer-songwriters, not ABBA. Lyrically, however, the themes of loss and renewal make it clear that Patrick Ballantyne is channeling soul music. Have a listen. Unfortunately, I didn't know that was near the end of that song. I need the numbers to roll in front of me. Patrick, man, how far of a drive was this for you to get here?
Yeah, you know what? It was about 7 minutes down Trafalgar Avenue.
Seriously?
Yes, sir. I live up on Trafalgar.
That's really creepy that you live this close. Where did you grow up? What's your story, man?
Grew up in Windsor, Ontario.
Right.
A long time ago. I moved up to Toronto about 1986. To finish the bar ad course. I'm a lawyer, and I've been up here ever since.
You're like a real lawyer?
Well, I have a law degree, a bachelor of a doctor of laws, I think they call it now, or doctor of jurisprudence.
Excuse me.
So you heard me. So my mother can say that she's got a doctor and a lawyer as a son, so she's going to be the proudest woman in the world.
Wow. Do you have daddy issues? Is that why we're still trying to...
We don't want to go there.
The music thing really kind of hit and took off and embedded into your soul when?
When I was very, very young. I have memories of Ed Sullivan. Back in the day, I have memories. I don't know whether I saw the Beatles the first time they were on the Ed Sullivan Show, but it was certainly around about that time. And the radio was constantly on in the house. I had an older sister who was a big music fan, and there was a station called CKLW, which was very famous in its day. And I just was in my brain was inundated with music, and it's just become a big part of me.
Folks, I don't know if you realize this or not, but let me just say a couple things here. First of all, you're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca, and we're live right here in the Southern Ontario area, 1250 on your FM dial. Good luck finding that. We are also on the TuneIn app on your smartphones. We're everywhere. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We are like a recurring nightmare. The end of every show on Saturdays, which we are on from 1 to 5, we do a little thing called Live on the Drew Marshall Show, devoted solely to the art of music. And this week's recording artist is this man, Patrick Ballantyne. His website is patrickballantyne.com. And he's been doing a lot of stuff for a long time, and I'm actually kind of freaked out that it's taken me 12 years to find out about you. Why?
Well, I'm 53 years old. It's taken me... I haven't found myself
no.
yet, so... I'm behind the scenes. I've got a regular straight job. I do not perform a lot. I don't tour. I don't do all the things that musicians who I respect are out there doing. I write songs, and I write songs largely in my basement. And
so you don't write the songs that the whole world sings?
Not yet. But if we can make that ABBA thing come true, then.
And full circle.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank you.
So would you consider yourself more of a Dan Hill kind of guy?
Again, I'd take his hit.
No, but, you know, more behind the scenes, yeah, well, more of a songwriter.
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a songwriter. I'm not an entirely comfortable performer, but I think that's also because I don't perform a lot, right? I think that's a muscle that you have to develop like any other muscle. I'm very happy writing. I would be writing, even if I didn't have any success, I'd be writing songs. I don't quite know how not to do it. I've been doing it since I picked up a guitar when I was 14 years old. So it's just
Do you remember the first song?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, remember it as in you can perform it right now?
Absolutely
or remember?
Absolutely not.
Can you?
No,
please?
I could not do that.
Money?
I could play Money.
No, I like, could I get...
Sorry.
I was hoping to bribe you into, okay, not going to do that.
All right.
What was the first song? I mean, don't perform it. Just tell us about it. Was it about a girl?
It was about a girl who was, I think, in the summer school course that I was in.
That was my first girlfriend, too. Oh, well, yeah. She didn't know she was my girlfriend.
Well, she didn't know she was my girlfriend. I wonder if it was the same one. Anyway, this is down in Windsor. And she had her name was Adelina. And
that
just
same
sounded
name
like
as,
it was just a musical name. And, you know, I had three or four chords that I was able to play at the time. And, yeah. and that's what I did. And it was absolutely awful. And,
you know who wrote a similar song? Who played it right here in this same spot that you're in right now is Tommy Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a song called Angelina.
Perfect.
That's the only segue I have.
Well, and thanks for mentioning Tommy Emmanuel as well. Oh, my gosh. He's quite a player.
He is a freak.
He is a freak of nature.
Have you seen him perform when he comes to Ontario, to Toronto?
I have seen videos.
Okay.
I haven't been able to actually go, although I was invited to go. I wasn't able to make it that night he was here. But I would be so over-the-top intimidated by that.
The owner of the station, the studios here, I brought him in to watch the interview when the third time he was here, and I had him in. And the owner of the station went home and threw his guitar out.
Yeah. I've often felt like doing that when confronted by unbelievably good songwriters.
Right.
And there's more than a few of them out there.
You know what? You're not here to yap. Come on.
I'm happy to yap.
Come on. Let's do a song. What are we doing?
Why don't we start with I've Got a Feeling. I didn't know if you want me to talk about where the song comes from.
I love setup.
Thematically, it seems to fit with a lot of the stuff you guys have been talking about today. I mean, this was a song about somebody who was sort of getting ready to pass, and she was ready to go, and she was sort of resigned to what was happening to her, but I wasn't comfortable with it. I didn't want to let her go, and that's sort of where the song comes from.
What a great setup for a song. That's fantastic.
Well, it sounds, you know, when people hear it, it also can, it sounds not unlike a marriage or a relationship breaking up, but it's not really any different, really. I mean, it's just, you know, somebody's ready to go, the other person's not, and it's the sort of the struggle to hold on to when, there's really very little you can do about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, folks, for the first time, and hopefully not the last, live on the Drew Marshall Show, the one and only Mr. Patrick Ballantyne.
I got a feeling you're going somewhere new. I got a feeling a deeper shade of blue. And I don't want to let him win. Let him sit right in and touch you just so. But I got a feeling that you want to go. And I got a feeling that things are moving fast. And I got a feeling that this ain't gonna last. And like the night destroys the sun, so much is undone and so much unknown. But I got a feeling that you wanna go. Well, my mind racing in overdrive, lonely as an only child. Lord, I know it ain't pretty and it ain't alright. My imagination runs away, consumed by every word you say. I got no proof, no evidence in sight. I got a feeling. I got a feeling that you're not wrong. Well, my man overdrive, lonely as an only child. Lord, I know it ain't pretty and it ain't alright. My imagination runs away, consumed by every word you say. I got no proof, no evidence in sight. A better man would find a way to say no. A stronger man would let go. Ah, but this chilly sky inside just can't let it ride. I still leave the light on, but I got a feeling you coming home. Yeah, I got a feeling you ain't coming home.
Dude, that was fantastic. Oh. What a great song. Patrick Ballantyne on the Drew Marshall Show.
Thank you.
I am a lyric junkie, and I asked for the lyrics, and I'm reading the lyrics as you're doing this song, and I'm just like the ability to be able to cross over between the breakup of a marriage or losing someone in death. There's so much transcendence in both those stories. I mean, are you always this freaking deep?
You know, the this batch of songs sort of came out of this sort of a mood, this sort of a, it was a bit of a, you know, the album's called Days of Rain. I mean, almost every song is a bit dark. There's no real love song or anything like that. They're all struggles about, you know, dealing with death. I had lost two or three friends and a family members in the last little while, including one who was extraordinarily young, a cousin. And it was just this overwhelming sense of sadness in some respects, and you know, but you have to move on. You have to figure out a way to get through it. And it, for me, I guess writing songs is one way that I can cope.
What, you know, I often ask this question in interviews when someone it's a journey interview, and I know they've gone through stuff, and so I will ask them, you know, who's hurt you the most? what's caused you the most angst? What's the darkest time in your life? Sometimes those things are connected. They're kind of macabre questions, but they still lead into good conversations. So as I'm throwing that stuff out, what's going through your brain?
Who hurt me the most is you know.
And I don't want to know names.
No. It's Jimmy Smith.
Yes, ratbag.
I can't say, and I'm touch wood. I've been fortunate that I haven't. Nobody's done me wrong, you know.
That's why you're not singing country.
Well, although my cat done died and my pickup truck's on. So I can't say that I have this deep-rooted sadness or anger as a result of that, but I tend toward introspection. I tend toward, dare I say it, not being entirely comfortable sometimes talking to people or in crowds of people or one-on-one. I don't really feel like I have a whole lot to talk about because I don't often find what I'm saying particularly interesting.
So are you hiding behind your music?
I think that it's a way of me of expressing myself.
Is this also why you're not a litigation lawyer?
You know, I started off doing litigation.
Really?
I did start off being there, but then you're an actor. You're putting on somebody else's. You're putting.
Hold on a second. I got totally distracted there. Tim, look at him. Does he not have Robert Downey Jr. eyes?
Yeah.
Have you ever been told that?
I have.
See?
No, and there's an Andy Walton resemblance, I think.
Okay, that doesn't make any sense to people that don't know him.
No, but you know, look at him.
I do, but I'm talking about other things. Okay. This is the reason I don't give him a microphone during this segment. Is
well, no.
Sorry, I got a little distracted by your eyes.
That's okay.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah, hey, write a song about that.
Well, it's done. Yeah. It's done.
No, I just find it, not ironic, I find it inconceivable, to quote Princess Bride, that you have this part of you that hides behind your music, and you're happy to be behind the scenes, to be a songwriter guy, and you're not performing a heck of a lot. And then the other side of you is, I used to be a litigation lawyer.
Well, I did do, and still in my day job, it's some litigation-related stuff.
But do you not see the contrast in that?
Well, you do what you do to make a living, don't you? I don't know.
Da, 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 da.
No, I don't. But I also have this, I say I'm behind the scenes, but clearly I have the need to be recognized as well. And that's an odd dichotomy.
Sure. For any Canadian.
Well, I guess, yeah. I want, you know, I'm behind the scenes, but at the same time, I want people to know who I am to some extent.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. I mean, but that's an honest answer.
That's what I love about you. I from what I had seen and read and heard prior to you showing up today, I knew this was going to be good. I knew it. Let's do another tune. What's next on the plate?
Let me look at my list of what I have here. Let's do 100 Year Flood.
Why?
Because in some respects that's what sums up the album and the theme of the album. It started off when I was visiting Nashville, and there was a flood there a few years back that killed 30 people. The Cumberland River flooded, and it also happened at the same time that there was the Times Square bombing, and it also happened at the same time as the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. And so it got on radio, so you can't see this, but it got precious little
coverage.
Media attention
because
there's only so many cameras to go around. And it just struck me as odd that 30 people can die and there could be such dislocation in a city the size of Nashville, and it goes almost unknown. Mm. So that song started off as sort of the idea of how, you know, unless it's in the media, things don't actually happen. And then it went on, you know, the song also touches on the transience of fame or you can be a hero one day and the next day because history sort of adjusts itself and you're no longer seen as, and I got the guys in Vietnam were heroes and all of a sudden they're pariah when they come back home because they're fighting an unpopular war, that sort of a notion. And you know, it anyway, that's where the song
comes from. Love it. Again, live on the Drew Marshall Show. 100-Year Flood, Patrick Ballantyne.
Well, the Cumberland was rising 13 feet above. Rain and river rising, water out for blood. But down in Davidson County, storm would not let up, and eventually the levee had just about enough. Well, look what's coming. 100-year flood, grab your things, get running from the 100-year flood.
Ballantyne on the Drew Marshall Show. Yeah, I'm telling you right now, that whole time I wanted to look back at Tim because I know him enough to know that he is loving, right?
There's that, like, that song is where I heard the Beatles.
Oh.
The chord changes and all that kind of stuff. Totally.
No.
Very cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
Patrick, I want to read to you back a section of that song, and I have a question for you.
All right.
You ready?
Oh.
Well, your mama sent me for you to see if you were well. She ain't heard nothing from you. There's not much here to tell. But the days of rain upon you, the river's bound to swell. And God forgives a sinner. You're an easy sell. Dude, those last two lines, like that last little God thing?
Yeah.
what is that? I love that. And you have to unpack it. If you tell me, oh, I don't know, it just rhymes, it doesn't mean anything, I'm going to smack you. Come on.
Well.
Because I think I know what it means, but I want you to talk.
Do you? What are you thinking?
No, well, I knew I shouldn't have said.
No, you got to go first, buddy.
Who, me or him?
No, you. Patrick's got to go
Yeah.
first.
No, because then it's no fun when I hear your interpretation.
Okay, so to me, it could be something in there about people from the South hooking into God stuff, and it's easy to get them to hook into God stuff because they're from the South. So they're an easy sell.
It didn't have anything that specific in mind. That's good, though.
Oh, Tim's got one. Okay, go, Tim.
Okay. It maybe kind of like, you know, when we're all facing tragedy, that's when, there's no atheists in foxholes kind of thing. We're all facing these floods.
Okay, and okay. And?
That's
Is that better?
That's good.
You're just getting a sick pleasure out of this, aren't you?
No. I you know what? I don't get an opportunity very much to hear how people interpret my lyrics. And I love the idea that you guys here and you're thinking about it. That's phenomenal to me. I mean, there is a certain amount of rhyming and there's a certain amount of cleverness, I like the sound of that. That whole stanza was, I think, you know, I was picturing a waitress who had gone down there for bigger things, you know, and she just sort of through disappointment and failing to break it, struggles and then the flood metaphor comes on, which is one bad thing piles up, and then another, and then all that you're left with is God. But you'll be forgiven for all the bad things you may have done for success, because God will always forgive you. I guess I was raised a Catholic, and I always thought that on your deathbed you can be forgiven all the horrible things you've done.
Sure,
I don't know.
I love it. No, this is the discourse I love. And that's why I'm literally saddened by the fact that it's taken me this long to find out about you. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's very, very flattering.
It is, isn't it?
It is. It is. Especially having Mitch Albom on early. Now me, you know. He's so articulate. I'm listening
isn't he?
To all these
oh,
guys,
my goodness.
And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord.
Yeah, no, he's...
I can't string three sentences together, three words together.
Well, you should co-host this show. You'd fit right in.
Well, yeah, there you go.
Fit right in. I'm torn because I really love talking to you, but I want to keep hearing your tunes. And, of course, that's one of the reasons you're here, is to expose our listeners to your ridiculous talent. So why don't we shut up and do another song right away? What do you think?
Before you say it, when you say ridiculous, do you mean like embarrassing or is it a positive
statement? Oh, no, it's a positive.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a positive. Yeah. Yeah, it's like when the kids say that's bad.
That's sick.
It's sick.
That's ill.
That's fat. I've been hearing
that's
all
fat.
My life.
That's a fat bass line.
How about I do Wrestling with the Devil? This is again a song about struggle that oddly enough came out of the death of the fellow from Glee. I always forget his name.
Corey
Monteith.
Yeah.
He's the guy who's got the world in his hands. He's handsome. He's talented, and he's battling a heroin addiction. Forget that. Nobody knows about what goes on behind the scenes, which I guess is another theme of today's show.
Yeah.
But this guy, you know, he dies at such a young and promising age, and then shortly thereafter, Philip Seymour Hoffman passed away from again battling demons behind the scenes. So this is really a song about that, and you don't really know. People are living and trying to live a normal life, and yet they have this intense struggle going on behind the scenes, which they may or may not work their way through. So that's where this comes.
Love it, absolutely love it. Again, live in the Drew Marshall Show, Patrick Ballantyne.
Day is long, miles and miles of empty words to feed us. If I had my way, I'd be gone. But if I am wrong, about every single minute spent between us, maybe I'll play along. Well, wrestling. Wrestling with the devil.
Something in the way you lay beside me. If I had my way, I'd stay. But I got a call. I found someone who knows someone to help me make it another day. Well, wrestling with the devil, it pins me down every time. Wrestling with the devil, it lets me up, and I'm fine, and I'm wondering if he's gone. He's never gone. I'll put on some tea and make some supper. Maybe you'll stay, please stay. If I am wrong about every single minute spent between us, maybe I'll play along.
Right out of the park. Right out of the park.
Thank you.
You are such a freak. Okay, so...
Again, that's a good thing.
The spiritual imagery in your song is there. Maybe it's just because I'm preconditioned to see it or smell it. But I think it's there, and I think other people would pick up on it. Is this all allegorical? You mentioned earlier you had this Catholic upbringing. Is this allegorical, or do you... Do you think there's more?
No, there's more. I mean, it's conscious. I'm not a particularly religious fellow. Although I'm fascinated, for example, by Jesus and the historical Jesus and what he represented at the time and the challenges he was bringing to society and how that has reverberated through history. I was recently asked what my favorite book or one of my favorite books was, and it was The Last Temptation of Christ, which I read back in, I think, probably university. And it was the first time
they had books back then.
They did. It was on paper too,
parchment.
And yeah, and it struck me how I think maybe for the first time that we're talking about a real person. It was like a real man who went through all of this stuff, and that book just sort of dwelled on the human side of Christ, which I found a much more compelling thing than a lot of what the church taught, because it just means a lot more to me, that somebody can be that human and still that divine and
well, there's a relatability, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's very difficult to relate to somebody who's
like
you know, on the well. There you go.
I mean, I can see how people would struggle.
Indeed, yeah. Indeed.
For completely different reasons.
Shut up over there.
Have I? Yeah. There you go. Anyway, there.
So, do you? I mean, the themes of darkness and light, the best resource for that, I think, are any kind of sacred scriptures. Have you ever... Why'd you smile at that?
I'm smiling.
Have you ever teefed any stuff out of any sacred scriptures, whether it be Quran or Torah or the New Testament or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think that some time ago I realized that so much great literature and so much great music, so many of the great paintings, all stem from religion of some form or other. I mean, a lot of it was Christianity because that's where I was raised, but sure. I suspect it's much broader than that. So I sort of took it upon myself to read as much as I could about different faiths, Christianity, but not just Christianity, because I think to understand literature a lot of times, understand history, for goodness sakes, you have to have a sense of you know, what these people are talking about, mm-hmm. or, you know, what to, and just how badly they're distorting things to suit their own purposes, and how politics can be, you know, can be, or religion can be co-opted by politics in order to further an end. So that has always fascinated me, and I think I've also, I think it's filtered through the way I write mm-hmm. as well. I mean, I enjoy religious imagery. I enjoy referencing different Bibles. It's a Bible. I've always laughed too that the Bible is a great place to steal song ideas from.
Oh, heck
There's
yeah.
so many great
oh,
stories.
Oh, heck yeah. Well, Jackson Browne, I think, has done that better than so many.
Oh, it's brilliant. I mean, you can, if you're clever enough, you can just, you know, nobody would ever know.
What's what's that word again?
Teeth?
Negative, yeah, no. Anyway, what one of your songs has garnered the most success or spotlight or has had the biggest spotlight?
There's been a couple, mostly the Big Sugar songs that I wrote with Gordy Johnson, who was the king of Big Sugar. And Gordy and I were pals back, you know, from Windsor days.
Why are you gasping over there?
Freaking guy. He's amazing.
I know. He's a rock star. I'm telling
Man.
You. Yeah. See?
Gordy?
No,
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah, we too. You oh, and Gordy.
No, Gordy's awesome. Gordy is an incredible. I mean, he's got more music right there in his little pinky than his finger, fingernail of his pinky than anybody I've ever met. He's got to be the most talented person I've ever met.
So, which one of yours did he pick up on?
Oh, well, we write together. So, I wrote probably. He says a third of the Big Sugar songs. I don't think it's quite that much. I like to just say the good ones. I wrote the good ones.
Good.
All Hell for a Basement is one that has done very well, and I've played it all across the country by myself.
And people think you're doing a cover?
In fact, that's true. And a song called If I Had My Way, which was the first one. That was the first time I heard one of my songs on the radio.
Was that a cool moment?
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But my immediate, I swear that within seconds, I was thinking, oh, what do I do next? You know, what's next? What's the next song?
You couldn't rest in it.
I could not rest. I mean, it's like once you get into that stream, it's like, oh my God, how do you get out?
Yeah.
Because you're only as good as your last song, right?
And yeah.
You know, I was fortunate to be working with Gordy, and he has worked his tail off for years and continues to. So I've had a lot of songs come up that way, and through Gordy, I was introduced. Like you mentioned Meredith Shaw. You mentioned Shane Chisholm.
Trues.
The Trues, yeah. In fact, that 100-Year Flood I co-wrote with Colin McDonald from The Trues. A fellow named Tim Chasen out of PEI, who, if you don't know, he's an extraordinarily gifted songwriter, and he's set to break out now, too.
Well, look, this is the frustrating thing of doing a radio show, is that there are time boundaries.
All right.
And that means that we have time for only one more song.
All right.
Which would be your fourth, I believe.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do something that's not on the record. I'm going to do Rolling Thunder, because you were talking about the Bible, and this is just all Bible all the time. So
all Bible all the time.
Yeah, this is...
just like Joy 1250.
Yeah, sort of. Except for this show. Well, again, Patrick Ballantyne, pleasure. So pleasure.
Thank you so much for letting me on. This is awesome. And I know it was a long drive for me, but it was worth it.
Thanks for making the effort.
Yeah.
I keep hearing about that rolling thunder, rolling thunder, rolling across the land. I keep hearing about that rolling thunder, yeah, rolling thunder, all the way from Bethlehem. Well, 7 days and nights in there. Pretty girl and a handsome guy gonna make that sacrifice. And to the sky he lifted up his weapon. Oh, I keep hearing about. Men who would not give their room to him. So in the hay beneath the stars came Jesus and his camouflage. And to this day the thunder roars, the lightning strikes, the rain it pours. And to the sky them nervous men are crying. Well, I keep hearing about their
begging for a harp. Hey?
Well,
you brought it.
I brought it.
Oh, that was so good. Patrick Ballantyne on the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you so, so much again. Folks, that is the end of our show. Every time I say that, I think it was that Tiny Talentine. This is the end of our show. Only if you're Canadian would you remember that. Thanks for tuning in, folks. If you missed any of today's show, we'll load all of our show back up on our website for your listening pleasure by the end of the week. We get around to it eventually.
I am a liberal backslider, sliding about 10 years. People ask me how I'm doing, and I come from all their fears. I'm swearing like a trooper, and I'm drinking like a bug. I'm a liberal backslider, and it sure is a lot of fun.